Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
You know, each year we, at New Year's, we always come up with these great ideas about, like, we're going to have some resolution that's going to change our lives and everything's going to be happy after that, right? Has anybody ever done that? Let me ask you a question. How many of you have like workout equipment in your garage or shop that you haven't used in a while? Anyone? Corey? All right. Thanks for being honest. You're the only honest guy in here. I know that. But this year with New Year's, we sat down as a sermon team and we talked about like what kind of a message could we bring to you all that would not just be the typical retread of what are you going to do this year, blah, 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 but more about, look, if we would focus on our worship, on our keeping our focus on God throughout the entire year, 2021 could be a really special year, right? It could be a really good year if we just focused on worship. And that doesn't mean just the praise element that we just did, but great job, team, by the way. But also our time in the Word, our time in the woods, our time with our friends, however we express ourselves, that we take our eyes off of ourselves and we put them on God. That's worship. That's worshiping God. And so last week we started and we talked about the fact that the very heart of worship is humility. In other words, we just can't come barging in to the throne room of God and demand things. The Word says we can come boldly, but there's a heart of humility that we're to come in because we make ourselves less and we elevate God for who he is. So we talked about humility, but we also talked about that the benefit of when we come before God and we worship him is that he restores our perspective. When we focus on him, he becomes larger and our circumstances become smaller. And it's so important for us when we worship to gain perspective. We talked about the fact that the act of worship is really celebratory. It's celebrating and thanking God for not only who he is, but how he's initiated relationship with each and every one of us and what he does for us as we yield and surrender and walk with him as his kids, right? So today I want to continue the worship piece, but I want to talk just about two things really. They fit together, but one is the sovereignty of God and the goodness of God. And sometimes when you hear the sovereignty of God, you go off in all kinds of places. Here's where I want to go today with it. I want us to remember as we head into the new year that God is in control, okay? That God is in control. And I was thinking about stories and circumstances in my own life, and one popped into my head, but another one just for a moment is, when you go to the grocery store, maybe some of you younger moms, and you're wheeling your kids, and this is not a dig on you guys, it's just the reality of a season in life that could be complicated. But when you go to the grocery store and you're wheeling around a cart and your child has a meltdown, it's never happened to anybody in here, I know that. Who do you think people look at? Who's in control, right? That's where they go. It's like, my goodness. Take control of the situation, right? I think we all can run into that. And the question in the first part of your notes that you're going to see is we worship the God who is in control. And here's what I mean by that. He is sovereign. It's this title for who God is. He is in control because he is king and ruler over his kingdom. And he has a firm grasp on his kingdom. And so when we look at God from that perspective, when we go, he's Lord, he is king, he is ruler, and he's in control because it's his and not ours, right? So when we ask that question, I was thinking about this story in my past that was kind of interesting years ago. So I was driving between Long Beach and San Diego, California, along Interstate 5. Some of you have driven that corridor. And I'm driving along, I'm tooling home, probably about 70 miles an hour, conservatively. And I look over and there's this car as I'm approaching him and I'm watching the head of the driver doing this. And I get alongside the driver, and he literally falls over like this in his car, like he falls asleep. And so now I'm like, oh, this is not good. You know how you process things like really fast and things are happening? Well, at the same time, I see his head conking over. I look ahead. There's a pickup truck with the hood open, two guys under the hood working on the car, and then a station wagon in front of it. So you know how you start doing the math in slow motion when you're into something like this? Sure enough, slams into the back of this truck. And I slow down, and all I see in my rearview mirror and as I turn around is this car tumbling through the air in this complete cloud of dust. And it's like, this is horrific. You know, right away, I'm like, oh my goodness, what do I do? So I pump the brakes, and I'm like, should I go back? And I'm like, no, this is way bigger than what I can handle. So I remember I sped up, turned off at the Santa Onofre exit, and there was a phone booth there by the beach. Because see, I'm not dating myself, but this was before cell phones. So those of you that were around then, you remember you're digging in your pockets and in your console to find a quarter to drop in the phone, and I'm shaking and I'm all adrenaline out. And I call the California Highway Patrol. Why did I call them? Because they're trained and they know what to do in circumstances like this. And it was so far above my ability. By the way, those of you that are in law enforcement and civil service and emergency services and so on, thank you for what you do. Thank you. You guys, man, I'm really grateful that we in our country have an agency that we can call when there's something like that that happens. Right? It's scary. That evening, the police officer that actually kind of triaged the whole scene called me at home and said, hey, I just want to get your story on what you observed. And he says, oh, by the way, no one was injured. And I'm like, what? There's, you know, you see something like that and there's like, no way, people died. No, no one was injured. They were able to pick up the scene and open the highway again. And I'm glad I got through it. But do you ever think about stuff like that? Ever think about the fact that there is someone who has the answers and is sovereign over the drama of life? And as I was thinking about even this story, this is one chaotic incident in the human drama of life that occurred, I don't know, years ago. Think about this for a minute. God sees all of the traumatic, chaotic moments, the good, the bad, the ugly, all the drama, real time, across the entire universe. Does that ever like stagger you to think about that God is so intimately involved in our lives, and yet he sees your life and your life and your life, all of our lives across the entire universe? And he is so big that he is able to be sovereign over the drama of the world. It's amazing to me. And I was looking at a story in the Bible that I think is probably one of the more chaotic moments. It happens with Moses in the book of Numbers, chapter 11. Moses experiences incredible chaos. So I want to give you a little context. I'm going to story through a little bit of Moses. If you have your Bibles, you can open it to chapter 11 if you want. But the book of Numbers to start with covers a time period of 38 years. You guys remember that the nation of Israel, after they left Egypt and God parted the Red Sea, they went into the wilderness for 40 years. The book of Numbers starts 2 years after they're in the wilderness and documents two senses that Moses and his leaders took, one for the people that came out, and then if you guys know the story, they were rebellious and they spun donuts in the wilderness for a long time, and then there was a census taken before they were ready to cross over into the promised land. That's the book of Numbers in essence, okay? In the story itself, the Israelites are whining because God has been feeding them manna, and they're sick and tired of manna, okay? I don't know what your manna is today that you may be whining about, but I want you to look at the story because it'll speak to your heart, okay? Verse 4 of chapter 11, the rabble, which means the multitude, the rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. You ever ask that? Like, I just want a good ribeye, right? Right? If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. Wah. Do you get the tone here? This is the people. Now, Moses in verse 10, kind of interesting. Listen to what he says. Moses heard the people of every family wailing or weeping or crying out loud, each at the entrance of his tent. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. I want you to listen to now Moses' perspective. He asked the Lord, why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you would put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their forefathers? There's two things that hits me in this text right here. First of all, God is a big God who can take our frustration, right? Because where is Moses' perspective right now? Anybody want to take a guess? Me land, right? He's in me land. It's all about me. Why, God? Why did you do this? This is Moses speaking to God. I'm like, wow. God actually desires relationship with us. He knows our heart. And he listens, even when we moan and whine and cry. That's comforting if you're a whiner like me. So then he says, where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, give us meat to eat. It's like that old Wendy's deal. Where's the beef? You guys remember that? He says, I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. You ever felt that way? It's too big, God. So the story goes on. It's kind of interesting because God says, I'm not only because they've been whining about manna, not only going to give them meat for one day, not for two, not for three, but for a whole month. And I'm going to give them so much quail that it comes out their nostrils to the point where they hate eating it. You think God's a little ticked off right now? So the story goes on. Here's Moses. After all God says that he's going to do, he says he's going to provide leaders that will help distribute some of the weight that Moses has been whining about. But here's what he says. But Moses said, here I am among 600,000 men on foot, and you say, I will give them meat to eat for the whole month. He still eyes on himself. Would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them? I mean, Moses is like, this is impossible, God. It's too big. There's 600,000 men. That's just the count of men alone that you say you're going to feed. Here's what God says in verse 23. The Lord answered Moses, is the Lord's arm too short? You hear that? It's the question he's asking Moses, and I think he's asking each of us today, irregardless of our circumstances. Am I incapable of meeting the needs? He says, you will now see whether or not what I say will come true. You guys can read the rest of the story. It's a great book. I'd read it, okay? Here's what's happening, though. The Israelites are testing the patience of God. And God is testing the faithfulness and the trust of the Israelites. It's very similar to what we wrestle with today. Matter of fact, we're no different if we look in the mirror. We test God's patience because we are a stiff-necked people that want to go our own way and do our own thing. And we want to whine that what God gives us, the manna that he provides for us, would only be better if it was different or tasted different, right? if I only had this, it would be better. You guys ever experienced that? And God is like, no, I want to see your heart. I want to test your faithfulness and your trust in me, that I'm able to do abundantly more than what you even desire. But first, I want to see where your heart is. I think it's really important that we stop and we pause on that, because nothing is too far from God's reach, not our circumstances, nor our choices. And when we talk about the sovereignty, it's important that I say one thing. In God's sovereignty, he gave us free will. God is not responsible for the choices that you and I make with the free will that he's given us. Did you hear that? So there's all kinds of broken things on planet Earth because of the fall of man that I'm not going to roll up and say, well, God's just sovereign and it just makes everything. No, planet Earth is difficult. God is still king and ruler and in firm grasp over his kingdom. And yet in the midst of his kingdom, there's all kinds of challenges, trials, circumstances that we face, right? Yet when we go into 2021, it is important that we realize that God is in control, that he is ultimately in control because he is sovereign. Do you guys get that? Because it is a perspective shift that we need in light of all the other stuff that's going on. I want to read to you out of Colossians 1. So listen to this. Colossians 1:16-17. For in him, who's the him? It's Jesus, right? For in him, in Christ, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. Stop right there for a minute. That covers all the drama right now that we see in our nation, doesn't it? Covers it all. So Paul goes on to say, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold what? Together. We need to feed ourselves on the truth of God so that we have perspective when we face 2021 with all of its uncertainties, don't we? We cannot forget that he is in control ultimately in our lives. Doesn't mean that he waves a magic wand and everything's happy land. That's not what the word tells us. But I do believe this means that when we take a higher perspective, when we zoom out and we look at it through God's perspective, there's a few things that his word's very clear on. He does not make mistakes, right? God does not make mistakes, nor does he allow man and man's choices through free will to thwart his plans and his purposes for us here on planet Earth in 2021 in Spirit Lake, Idaho at this given time, right? We can trust God in whatever circumstances we face because he is ultimately in control. We can trust him in whatever circumstances. You know, I'm very selective in this, if I'm really honest, because there's certain circumstances that I'm great about letting go of, and there's other ones that are a lot harder to let go. Anybody else experience that tension in your lives where, man, this is easy to let go of? Why can't you? Don, I can do it. Why can't you? But see, you could say the same thing to me. Jim, why can't you let go of that? I can. We all wrestle with this. Here's what Isaiah the prophet says in chapter 41. He says this in verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. In other words, don't lose your focus, okay? For I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Two chapters later, Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Now, I want you to notice something here. He doesn't say if, he says when, doesn't he? So that means something to us. It's like, you guys, it is happening and will continue to happen, right? The hard things on planet Earth. And here's what I would say. God does not promise that we won't have trials and troubles. Jesus says, in this life, you will have tribulation, right? He does, however, promise that he will be with us, right? That he will strengthen us, that he will help us as we walk with him through whatever circumstances. You guys ever remember Simon and Garfunkel? You do. Bridge over troubled waters. Has anybody had that bridge to go over troubled waters in your life? We usually get wet, don't we? I mean, it's a great idea that God would just build a bridge over every trouble we have and we would never get wet, but the reality is we do. It's just part of life in a fallen world. So this includes COVID, cancer, bankruptcy, divorce, loss of a loved one. I mean, it's endless. It's endless. The question you have to ask yourself as you face this new year, is God ultimately in control? I love Romans 8:28. Some of you know the text. It's often cherry-picked or taken out of context. I want to read it in context. This is what Paul says. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Now let's read it slowly. And we know that in all things, what are the all things, do you think? Even things that we go through that are decisions of others, even things that we go through that are like so hard, even things that don't make sense, when the math is just completely doesn't make sense, he says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good. Who determines the good? God does. We like to use this text to say, God's gonna take whatever's going on in my life, I'm just gonna call Santa Claus in the sky, and he's gonna come down and do what I want him to do. That's not what the text says. He says, for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose, right? And so when we live our lives loving God and loving others, okay, the great commandment, Matthew 22, when we love God and we love others, when we yield to what God's expressed will is, his written word is, enlightened and empowered by the Holy Spirit, when we yield to that, when we surrender our hearts and we are disciples that are trying our absolute best, not perfectly, to walk with the Lord, now you read this text and he says, I'm gonna take whatever you're going through, regardless of how it happened, and there's an opportunity for you, and I'm gonna turn that opportunity into something good that I know will, in the long run, be the best thing for you. And we're left going, how can that be? Does anybody wrestle with this? It's like, how can that be? It's the same thing again. He's testing the Israelites' faithfulness and trust. And God just, he just wants to see that, like, you really do believe and follow me, right? He doesn't make these things happen, but he will use these things in our lives to draw us to him and to bring glory to him. And when that happens, we experience the goodness of God because he does what is best for us. I don't understand it all. There's so many questions in this that we could never answer. But here's what I do understand. God is ultimately in control and he is good and he wants what's best for us. Did you hear that? We can trust God with our future because he is ultimately in control. We can trust him with our circumstances, but now what about our future? Like here we go, 2021, what's gonna happen? There's a whole bunch of questions there. Paul says this in Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God is actively working in us. He has ordained things in our lives so that he can accomplish and fulfill his will and good purpose for us. We get to be a part of what God is doing, even in the midst of craziness. Hebrews 4:13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. There's a couple ways you can look at this text. You can look at this text and be comforted that whatever atrocity someone might be doing on planet Earth, they're going to stand before the judge. But you can also look at it and go, God sees everything. And because he sees everything and knows everything, he's good and he's trustworthy. Because I don't have to freak out over it because God sees it. You guys get this? Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Now, when he says lean not on your own understanding, what that means in the Greek is putting weight on your own understanding. That'd be like me trying to put weight on this music stand. It is not intended to support me. This is a picture of Jim Blazin, this crickety 61-year-old music stand right here. So look, leaning on myself is foolishness, but leaning on the rock who is Jesus Christ is everything. Can I get an amen for that? Whew. Do you realize that when you are uncertain and confused, you actually can lean on God? That's what his word says. Isn't that good? And isn't it good to just sit in God's word and let his truth like penetrate our hearts and our minds? I get excited about this because this takes so much weight off of what I think I have to control. Now, here's the hard one for me. This is the one where I was looking in the mirror when I wrote this. We can give thanks. We can give thanks and rejoice in all things because God is in control. That is the hardest thing for me. Here's 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How many of you guys can rejoice always? First service, I did it, and there was this groan. It was like everybody's like, oh. Everybody sounded like Eeyore. Oh, I can't do that. Paul sets the bar pretty high, doesn't he? Rejoice always. But I was thinking about this. So I gave you some bullets in your notes. So if you have your notes, the first three bullets are designed to reveal something about the journey that we're on right now, our present. And the last two bullets are to talk about, so if this is the journey we're on, the destination, the promise of where we're going to end up are the last two bullets. Make sense? So here we go. We can rejoice when things don't go our way. How good are we doing at that? But the word says we can actually rejoice. We can rejoice when things are hurting. Now, I'm King Whiner here, and I just got done with some back stuff where I was like really bound up in my back. And my wife didn't hear me rejoice one time, I can guarantee it. You guys, when you came over, did not hear me rejoice. Corey, you didn't hear me rejoice. It's like, oh. I missed it. I wrote that and I'm like, you never even did that, you hypocrite. We can rejoice in God's timing. You ever think about this? Why is this taking so long? Anybody ever do that? It's important. If God is ultimately in control, and his timing is perfect, then we ought to be able to pull the lever back on the lazy boy, right? I don't know. Not maybe a good example or not. We can rejoice because we are saved by grace. Okay, just take a deep breath right now. Exhale. Doesn't that feel good? We are saved by grace through faith. Not of our own. It's Ephesians 2, right? 8 through 10. Not of our own, so we can run around and brag about how good we are. It's the gift of God. Grace. God's good. We can rejoice because we are promised eternity. Does anybody see planet Earth a little overrated right now in 2021? Right? But there's a promise here that is gold. It will not move, shake, slip away. We can trust God with our nation because he is ultimately in control. Ooh, this is harder. This is a harder one for some of you. I can see it. Here's Daniel 2:21. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. Did you hear that? He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Sounds like he's in control there. Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Is that too hard for God to do? To change the mind of some crooked politician to repent? It's not. We can pray for it. I don't know if that's God's will for that moment in time, but I know that everybody stands before the Lord at some point. That's for sure. Word's clear on that. And I'm good enough with that, that he's God and I don't have to be judge, right? We can trust God in 2021 because he cares greatly about us. So we can talk about how good and powerful and in control God is, but there's something even greater that's behind it all. It's because he's a good God. Do you believe that today? We worship the one and only good and true God. Here's why he's good. Because his love for us makes him good. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, right? That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That is all about relationship right there. Do you see that? That's the heart of God. He is a good God because he loves us. His kindness leads us to repentance because he's a good God. He gives us an opportunity to turn from our sinful ways because he's good. Romans 2:4, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance, to turn from your ways and turn to God. Have a change of your mind and embrace the Holy One. He's kind and he leads us to repentance. He forgives us and he redeems us. Ephesians 1:7. I'm just gonna wash you guys in truth here because we need it. We all need it. In him, we have redemption through his blood, that's the cross, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace. He is so good to us. He pours out. He lavishes us with his grace, even when we don't deserve it. He is good. His motivation and intentions are always good. Listen to 1 Samuel 6:16. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Isn't that good? Do you realize God is so good that he looks past all the stuff that we parade around with these false identities and things that we try to do to make ourselves feel good about ourselves, and he goes right to our heart. And he says, I love you. You are good. You are worthy. I want to be in relationship with you. That's the heart of God. That's why he's so good. That's why we can worship him and say, you are so good to me, Lord. As I said earlier, his timing is perfect because he's good. This is the very heart of God in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. If you have not repented, bowed your knee, and claimed that you are completely out of control and you can't fix your circumstances and you realize you need Jesus, then that doesn't apply yet. But God is knocking at the door of your heart today to say, turn from your ways, repent, because the God and the creator of the universe, it's all powerful, and it wants what's absolute best for us, is inviting you into relationship with him, not only for today, but for eternity. Can I get an amen on that? He is so good because he wishes none to be lost, but the clock is ticking. Worship team, you guys can come forward. Psalm 19, I love when you take the word of God, and if you go slow enough in the word of God, things will jump out at you that bring great encouragement. Listen to Psalm 19:7. And I would say that God does what is always right and true. He does what, listen to Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. Do you want to receive refreshing? Climb into the lap of God and in his word, and he will refresh your heart and your perspective. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. In other words, making wise the people that are open-minded, that are inclined to him, that have a contrite heart and want to hear what God has to say. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. See, his truth is right. When we embrace his truth, I don't know about you guys, but I get joy. I get excited when I let his truth just soak in. That's what the word says. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to our eyes. When we dive into his word and we have one of those, oh, that speaks to where I am, right? How could that be? Because the Holy Spirit is illuminating his light on the word, and the Lord, through his word, is putting light into your soul. Isn't that good? You guys got a couple more hours? No, all right. All right, we got to roll this thing up. A couple things to think about. We will be content and at peace this year, that's 2021, when we stay connected to God through abiding. What do I mean? When we remain in him, when we remain in his word, we find peace and contentment, right? Regardless of what the waves and the wind do. We will be content and at peace this year when we realize that he is in control, right? Ultimately in control. We will be content and at peace this year when we know and trust his promises. Can I get an amen? You know what? God is a promise keeper. Do you realize that? He's a covenant God who keeps his promises. When you study the Bible and you look at the history of God's promises, they have either all been fulfilled or will continue to be fulfilled in the future. Isn't that good? We will be content and at peace this year when we rely on him and not on our abilities, our rationale, and our great ideas. Do you hear that? When we rely on him. We will be content and at peace this year when we keep him first. Again, you guys, that is worship. That's why we, like, anything that we could say this year heading into 2021 is to stay connected to the vine, continue to worship him who is able to do abundantly more than anything we could ever conceive of. Do you believe that? So God is giving us some opportunities this year. I'm going to share a couple with you. These are opportunities that we get to be a part of, not that we have to do. We get to be a part of what God is doing. Do you realize that? The God of the universe, who is sovereign and in control ultimately of all things in our lives, who loves us because he's so good, has invited us to partner with him to do his ministry at this time in history. Can I get an amen? That's a big deal, you guys. We get an opportunity to grow in our faith this year. That's right. Because it's not going to go perfect or easy. And he's going to test our faithfulness and our trust as we go through this stuff, right? And as we rely on him, we're going to grow in our faith. We have the opportunity to become people of prayer, where we actually talk to our God, where we enter in and we share the very heartburn and heartaches and challenges and trials that we have, even to the extent of Moses. We get to walk in unity with God and be peacemakers. We get to walk in unity together as brothers and sisters of the King Most High. God is bringing a bunch of people to our area from some places down south and kind of over there. Here's what I want to say, you guys. This is a no-go. We're not stiff-arming anybody. God is bringing people here that are gifted uniquely, that have something to contribute to the vision and mission that he's given us as a church. And we need to embrace the people that God is bringing us with open arms, because this is way more than we could possibly do. And that's what Moses was whining about. And what did God do for Moses? He anointed people and laid his hands on people that could carry the load with Moses. Corey, Patrick, myself, our team, Paul, all of us, Jeremy, we need help. There's opportunities. You guys, let's roll our sleeves up this year. Let's not focus on the crazy, crazy stuff. Let's be aware of it. But let's lock arms. Let's be unified. Let's walk together and see God get glory and us be used, and we have a good time as the family of God. Amen? Man, that's worth standing up and praying and worshiping God about, right?
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.